gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. This is the Uncle Marv Open House Potty Show, and I've got with me the three musketeers. We are going to potty tonight like you've never had a Pod Nuts Pro potty before. I've got with me tonight Mr. Pod Nuts himself, Jeffrey Hallish. I've got Mr. Chicago. Paco, call me Taco, LeBron.
Down straight.
And the man that we all want, protecting our borders, Mr. Charmin, Mr. Clean, John Doobie Dubinsky. How are you,
fellas? One and one for all.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here on a, well, it might be a special occasion depending on when I release the show, but we are coming up on something that probably none of you thought would ever happen. We are going to be having 100 shows of Pod Nuts Pro, almost 2 years. The first show that I brought back, show number 81, with Mr. Matt Rainey and Mr. Martin Obando, was published October 4th, 2016, and we are somewhere close to that in September 2018. So here we are, and I thought, well, if I can't get Matt and Martin on, I'm at least going to have the three amigos on.
Sloppy seconds.
Yeah, well, at least you're thought of.
Hey, I didn't think anybody on this show right now could count to 100, let alone make it on the show, so...
Well, that's why you're all followers. So, all right. So this is basically an open forum, open house. Whatever you guys want to talk about, we can review the past shows from the last 2 years. You can ask me questions, current or past. We can talk about specific things on previous shows. Maybe you have questions that you want deeper answers to. Maybe you want to, you know, get inside my head and understand the process. Let's see where it goes, guys. We'll just go from left to right on my screen, and we'll start with the youngest of the bunch. Certainly not the prettiest. Paco, how are you?
Better than I deserve.
Wait, whoa.
We're still in thunder now. Paco, how you been? It's been a minute since I saw you.
Yeah, I know. It's been a whole 2 weeks. It's been a long time since we had a good chatting about things and stuff and stuff and things.
Yeah. So why don't, let's see, it's been a little bit since you put out a show. Why don't you give us an update on your new space? You moved a little bit ago into a new area of town. How's that been going for you?
Really well, actually. So I actually had moved from my office that I've been at for 5.5 years to a new space about 10 minutes more west in the downtown Chicago area. And one of the reasons for that is there's a lot of explosive growth happening in the area. A lot of corporations are starting to move into the area. So a lot of small businesses are trying to catch that wave of bigger businesses in the form of bids or subcontracting in some way, shape, or form. So moved into this area with a city delegate or a delegate of the city of Chicago who's a nonprofit, helping kind of pave the wave on a lot of the things that we're doing. And business has been pretty good the last 3 months that we've been here. I can say that I've been a lot more productive compared to the setup that I had at the previous location.
All right. And for those of you that don't know, maybe this is your first podcast, Paco is the owner, CEO, founder, whatever other title you want to throw in there, of Prodigy Techs in the greater Chicago area. So,
chief executive consultant.
There it is. I knew there was another title somewhere.
CEC.
All right. And next on the list, John Dubinsky. John, how have you been? I also saw you recently.
I was going to say better than I deserve, but got to trade up to something else. No, I've been great. And I just forget all that. Let's get right to the questions.
Oh.
Marvin, just between you and me.
Uh-huh.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Oh, I have to reserve judgment until I finish watching the The movie.
If you had to answer right now.
Star Trek.
I mean, if you see. Okay. All right. Live long and prosper.
Kapla.
Boom. Kapla. Kapla.
So, John, here's a question I have for you.
Shoot.
When we first met, you were, you know, doing pretty good business up there in Michigan. Had about five.
When was that, Marvin? Do you recall?
When we first met?
Yes.
It was 2014.
Oh, man, you are on.
Yeah.
Scratching off one of my other questions. Okay. Yes, Michigan. Been here. Yes.
And you had about, I don't know, you had about 500 endpoints then. And every time I hear you on one of these shows, you're just moving up 500, 700, 900, 1500 endpoints. Man, what are you doing to explode that business?
I don't know where the rumors are about 1500. I'm just digging in my control panel right now. Getting my search result, waiting. Please, Ninja. This is
See,
a live
that's
show.
How many you have. It takes a while to populate.
928.
Okay.
Is where I'm at right now. So,
all right, still a pretty good growth.
Yeah, I can't complain.
Well, you could, but nobody would care.
Nobody is listening. Nobody is listening when I complain. That is absolutely correct. Actually, I think Jeff yells at me about every other month about when I'm going to cut some of those out of there. So.
Yeah, man, start pumpkin planning your business. Come on.
Amen. Amen.
And speaking of Jeff, AKA, if Dor wasn't the owner, he would probably be known as Mr. Podnuts. Jeff Halish.
The Podfather himself. Oh, God.
See, taking another title away from a good friend of mine we had on the show a while back.
Yeah, Mr. Steve Cherubino. Mm-hmm. I remember that show.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for your haircut, I'd say you're doing well.
You know, I'm kind of in between you and John as far as my hair.
Well, I'm better looking. I don't know what are you trying to do then?
Now, I do have a question for you, Marvin.
Uh-huh.
And thank you for all those accolades and whatnot. Just glad to be here and sharing in your almost 100th show of doing Podnuts Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, to be honest, we didn't think you'd make it this far.
Yeah, I believe
but kudos to you, man, because I tell you what, in now you understand, because you're one of the ones that's done a lot of shows, how hard podcasting really is.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
So everybody that thinks that we sit behind the microphone and just talk, which we do, there's a lot of other things that go on behind the scenes that most people will never be privy to, thank God.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's your question?
So my question for you is, how did you take care of the lip smack?
Hours and hours of editing.
Now, we talked about this before, and I told you back in the beginning, a lot of people were complaining when you first started about lip smack.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I didn't really hear it.
So here's what happened, and I'm going to throw somebody under the bus, Matt Rainey, because, and I've told him this, and he didn't believe me, but when I went back and listened to some of the shows, my goodness, so that's all I can say. But here's the thing, really, a lot of times, I mean, listen, I have dry mouth, I'm not going to lie, I drink on the show. And you know what? Sometimes you get dry lip. We do a lot of talking, and a lot of the shows are at night. So I've talked all day, and basically it's about the time for me where I should be shutting up, but I've got to do a show. So just keep on going. But I've gotten better. I actually upgraded equipment, which helps. Upgraded software, that helps, because the software can edit a lot of that out. And if it's really, really bad, I will spend a few minutes and I'll take a couple of the big boys out. But other than that, I'm done. If it's there, it's there. You know what? I was going to say something inappropriate, but.
They can stick it.
If you want to do the show, come do the show.
So little inside baseball from my perspective, my wife laughs at me and I don't know if I've ever told this story before. So this might be a Podnuts Pro exclusive.
We like exclusives here.
Exclusive. So before I actually sit down to podcast, I actually go and I rinse my mouth out with mouthwash. My wife laughs at me all the time. She's like, who are you getting ready for? You're going to do a podcast. I said, you don't understand. It stops my lips and my tongue from sticking so that I can take a lot of those out. But when we are talking, man, my mouth gets dry.
Yeah.
And or too wet.
Yeah.
Either way, you're kind of screwed.
I have a lemon tea concoction that I do earlier. I will do a little bit of these as I'm warming up, and then water. And one of the things I did learn, if you partake in the podcasting schools of excellence, is that you don't drink hot liquids while you're podcasting. And if you remember early on, I had an angry tea episode, and that was a hot tea. So I had to switch from the hot tea.
All right, cool.
So what you're all saying is that I'm the only one just going raw and when I'm doing these podcasts, then.
You're just a natural.
It's the first time I've heard any of this. Thanks. Thanks a lot for the tips, guys, when I've been on shows, you know, once or twice in the previous.
You're like the talent, John. You just show up, do your thing, and leave.
That's right.
I mean, it's a curse I live with, but I'm dealing with it.
All right. So,
well, speaking of the shows here, let me jump on a little bandwagon and just give you a little praise, because I know we're at 100 episodes, but it only took you 100 to get me to become an App River customer. So I appreciate that. And that's going great. Should have been there a long time ago.
You know what? Listen, everybody moves at their own speed, Tortoise.
Well, I'll tell you from my perspective, from seeing what you've done with the show, obviously you and Matt Rainey getting together, yucking it up, it's fun to listen to. But one of the things you've done is you've brought in vendors and actually talked about their products. And there have been times when I'm going, man, I wish I really needed that product, because I'd sign up right now because it's that good.
That has been something that when I started getting the email and the comments, that was something that people asked for. They're like, hey, I want to hear about this. I want to hear about this. What? And of course, another trade secret is, you don't get if you don't ask. So I just started asking, and it's surprising how many people have said yes. So, and App River, it was funny because I had done the shows with Lisa in the Office 365 show, and I knew the same people she knew because half of the people she had are my reps, or at least in the same department. So when I went to go visit App River, you know, I knew them all. We just got to talking, and I think it was Justin just basically said, hey, well, why don't we do something in your show? And I'm like, go right ahead. So that's what happened there. And then, of course, the Battle of the Firewalls was a reason to get some of those people on. And we've now branched out, and I have opened negotiations with Ruckus. The Fluke people are going to be a definite go soon. And I've got some security experts coming up, and Calyptics will be coming back. So we're moving right along.
Wait. We're not doing anything with Dark Web, are we?
Actually, I have a card here that I need to call somebody.
Hey, everyone needs to know what shade of the lipstick for the pig.
Oh, that's awesome, Paco.
Whoa.
That's awesome.
No, but I will say this, though. I will say that because that is the buzz thing going on right now, I've gotten quite a few clients on just saying, hey, look, here's your email. Here's your info. You might want to change that password you used back then. If you did, good to go. And I've gotten a couple calls for it. So,
and that's,
it's you definitely know, a good marketing tactic.
And here's the thing. It's legitimate, right? What you're doing, you're actually in the business of helping the customer out. You're not just throwing around buzzwords going, hey, we're going to do a dark web scan for you because it's the new latest, greatest thing. You said, hey, here's some information. I want to help you out because, just in case you didn't know. And then, again, as technicians, that's what we should be doing anyway.
Yep. So I have two cards here in my hand. You guys see them. I won't say the names on the podcast because I don't know that they're going to come on, but these are people who I'm going to find out. And I mean, look, there is a legitimacy out there to scanning and protecting yourself and doing intrusion prevention and then going out and seeing if you're breached to some degree. So I just want to see how deep we can go before I start reselling it to my customers. Because here's the thing, I can't remember if I talked to all of you when we were in Chicago, but the one thing that I don't want to do is go to my customer and say, hey, we just did this dark scan on you and look at all these passwords that have been breached, to have them look at me and go, well, weren't you protecting us?
Good point. Real good point.
So from my perspective, I'm like, okay, let me fix the problem, then go to them afterwards and say, okay, look, I'm protecting you from this. Here's a new tool that's now in my tool bag that can actually go and do, you know, deep web scanning, dark web scanning, whatever we're going to call it, just to make sure that you're safe going forward. So that's at least how I would like to approach it.
Yeah, I've been actually doing the flip side of it. I've been typing in customers that I've been telling to stop using the same password over and over again. I'll throw their email in there. I'll say, yeah, this email that you bought, or this ticket you bought from Ticketfly? Yeah. What password did you use? Change it now. For that one time that you bought that one ticket, you need to change it.
All right.
So, which again, it's all about using that and implementing yourself into the services. So if you have your managed services, it's just an additional thing you do for them. If it's a service that you want to charge or you haven't talked to them in quite some time, it's a training and onboarding opportunity to create some more revenue for you.
Yep.
I like the idea of using it as maybe a motivational tool. You know how we're always telling our clients, you know, you probably should be doing this or you should be doing this. And then they always kind of do that motion where their head's kind of falling back and their eyes are kind of glazed over. But then if you can actually show them where their stuff is on the web, maybe it'll wake them up.
Yep.
And that's good. Yeah, that's good. And again, that's a legitimate use. Again, it's not using the scare tactic. It's just saying, here's some information that you should know about because I'm here to save the day.
Okay. All right. We are opening up the Ask Me Anything portion of the night. So bring it.
All right. So let's see. What else could we ask you? Why did you start doing Podnuts Pro?
So the bottom line with that is for over a year, we kept hearing about the return of Pro. Matt Rainey's ready to come back. He just needed somebody to lead the way. And I think that there were a couple of attempts that were done that did not happen. And it was something where I'm like, you know what? I think I could do that. And if you remember, Jeff, you and I were having conversations about how things were going with the Computer Repair Podcast. And I'm like, you know what? We need to bring back that business dedicated section in a podcast. And I'm like, you know what? I'm committed. I'm doing this on a regular basis now. I'll just move this over to Pro. Called up Rainey and he's like, yeah, ready to go. And then we got Martin Obando to start the little trio bus rolling. And that was it. It was more of, not that there was anything wrong with the repair show, the live show, but having a show that was, you know, going to be every week dedicated to business stories and tips is what I wanted to do. So that's how it worked out.
Oh, and you can't replace me anyway.
I wasn't trying to replace you. I can only succeed you.
Hold on, quick question. Is this going on video?
No.
Is it okay? Good.
No, because that shine off your forehead is just.
Yeah, I had to get that because somebody texted.
Yeah, I saw that. I read between the tiny little feathers.
I got a question. All right, October 2016, when you started this puppy back up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, besides the shows I've been on, what's your favorite show?
Oh, my favorite show.
That you've done.
Wow. That is a very good question.
Ponder that as we move on, because I'll go around the panel. We were just at All ITO Compass, all right? And Martin, I don't want to rehash the shows,
We get confused. Don't worry about it.
It's all right. I do get confused. But really quick, everybody had a good time. Favorite two things, these two favorite things, 30 seconds or less, Jeff? 30 seconds or less, Jeff?
Mike Michalowicz.
30 seconds, okay.
Yeah, Mike Michalowicz. Let me speak. Mike Michalowicz, I thought, was awesome. And I like the just down to earth information that he brought. And the information, obviously, we've been talking about for a long time on this show. I love his work. And I am in the process of reading Clockwork right now. Excellent, excellent book. Also doing a couple other things for my business and making me think differently outside the box. So kudos to him. And we'll be talking about that in the future on the Computer Repair Podcast. I'm good.
Oh. Paco, 30 seconds.
I appreciated the music choices that were played. And I like the camaraderie of everyone after the sessions and just the night after the night getting together and chatting and talking about business.
All right, Marvin, you're still thinking, so I'm going to go next. If I had to say portions of the conference that I liked the best, I would say it would be Jason Miller and his stuff with Freedom Voice and, oh my goodness, Fire Logic, HIPAA. He did a great, great HIPAA.
Derek Lodars.
Thank you. He was very good. And I think those two epitomize what I look for when I go to a conference. It was brief, extremely full of information and impactful information that's to the point and was easy to digest for everybody, whether you were at a high level or low level. I did not appreciate any of the affiliate marketing or sales of the stuff that was there. But again, I'll go back to what Paco said. I mean, there was a lot of good times just sitting at Doughboys, eating some pizza with people I haven't talked to in a long time, or maybe just sent an email based on the show or that sort of thing. So that was sweet. B, anything to add to that before I press you on your favorite show?
So in terms of the conference, here's what I actually did. This was a conference where, I don't know if you guys noticed, but I didn't hang with you guys as much as I normally did.
Oh, we noticed.
And a lot of that was because the previous two events, I realized that there were a lot of people there that I never spoke to. Now, part of it was because I was either, you know, doing presentations or emceeing or involved in the conference. And knowing that I wasn't going to be that involved this year, I figured I need to make an effort to go talk to people that I had seen. I've seen their posts on the Facebook. Yeah, I've seen them in the chat rooms, but I had actually never spoken to them. So I went and actually spoke to some people. And I think, you know, my goodness, I should have done it sooner because there are some good minds out there with some great ideas and some people running some very good businesses that, you know what, I can still learn. So you're hearing from some of them when I do the ITOC recaps of people that I thought, you know what, I enjoyed talking to them. I enjoyed what they did. So I'm bringing them on the show and getting them exposed.
And I'm going to say another thing, one more thing besides Mike McElwitz, obviously, is just like you guys have said, the people. I really enjoyed meeting the listeners there and getting to chat with them outside of the conference itself. That to me was just wonderful. It was wonderful to talk to people, listen to people. And a lot of times we weren't even just talking about tech stuff, just real world stuff. Now, it usually always revolves around tech because we're the only ones that want to listen to that. So from that aspect, I really enjoyed that part of any type of conference is getting together with.
All right.
Now, what's your favorite show, man? Come on. We've given you like 20 minutes here to figure it out.
So here's the thing. So I had never actually thought about a favorite show, but since you guys pressed me on this, I'm going to do two shows and for two very different reasons. So I want to go back to March when I did the show with Steve Cherubino and Mike Smith and when we met in Clearwater. And I think it was just one of the things that when I first started listening to podcasting, it was because of Podnuts and hearing Steve Cherubino. And he had been away for a while and it was something where getting him and Mike Smith and I together and just chatting and reminiscing, I think that kind of was a culmination for me of, hey, this is what got me involved, not just in podcasting, but involved with other pieces of software, hardware, things that made my business better since I started listening way back then. And then oddly enough, probably not my best show, but show number 162 with Bradley Gross. That was one of the shows that I actually got so much feedback. You know, you get feedback from regular shows and when you know, people hear their favorite products or they hear a vendor for the first time or you tell a story that somebody identifies with. But the Bradley Gross interview was something where it almost felt legitimate, if that's a way to explain it, where people who normally you know, would never respond or never comment, where all of a sudden, oh, you talked to Bradley Gross. And it was something where people acknowledged him as legitimate in the industry, you know, whether they could use him or not, or whether they could afford to or not. It was something where that was a sense of, okay, you've done something good.
Well, the things you said to him even prior to that, because I went to the ASCII conference in Ann Arbor, and he was probably one of the main things I circled, just that I wanted to see him talk. And he was very good. I mean, he packed a lot of information into his presentation. So I agree. He was great. And the show was great too.
Yeah. So not one, but those two stand out. I mean, there are bits of, you know, certain shows that I remember and I like, I laugh, things like that, but it's been a whirlwind. So I really haven't, this is the first time I've actually sat and tried to look back and think, man, what have I done? How have they been?
Well, I just kind of look back on all the shows and I just think it's pretty amazing. I don't know if diversity is the correct word, but you know, the diverse guests, you know, anywhere from the most recent show with Lynn to Lisa Hendrickson to Cloudberry guys, to Calyptics guys, to Sonic Walls guys, and good old faithful Matt and his storytelling. I mean, we got the gamut in the show. It almost looks like you know what you're doing, B. So I can appreciate it. I always look forward to the show in my feed. So
as do I.
All right.
I'll third that.
I get tired of listening to Jeff all the time.
I get tired of listening to me, you know, because a lot of times when I listen to myself and I've got to check out the first few minutes of the show, make sure that it's listenable and all the levels are decent, not perfect, but decent. And so I listen to it and I'll listen to me talk and I go, damn, that guy's smart. No, I'm just kidding. No, but you know what? I really think that, you know what, having other people come on the show and share what they're doing and just the community all together, all the differences of people's businesses, different vendors and stuff like that. And I was going to go back to the Sonic Wall things, Marvin, is that it's nice to hear the differences of Sonic Wall, or I'm sorry, Firewall, Sonic Wall,
WatchGuard.
WatchGuard, thank you.
Calyptics.
Oh, couldn't remember it yet. And, you know, Calyptics, yes. So listening to the differences and listening to the people from those companies talk about it and kind of coming up with an informed decision on what's going to be best for your business. And I think what it really came down to, pretty much for everybody from what I've heard from Matt, from you, and from people on the shows, is that kind of whatever you start with, pretty much what you stick with. And it's, you know, to change is going to kind of be hard unless you're John Dubinsky, who, you know, he changes his firewalls and everything else. Like,
all right, I've been told that I could not be profane on the show, Jeff. So the next time I see you, I will take care of that statement.
You're going to give me a big old hug?
Oh, it'll be a hug, all right.
Whatever you want to call it. Only going to be one of us enjoying it. But I'll just go back to the last show with Lynn Thames, I believe. You know, I don't think I've heard Lynn on any other shows. So you probably talked her into coming on at the conference, being knowing you. But you know, it's pretty interesting for being a new noob on the show. You go look at her website and check her out on LinkedIn and all that. She's nobody new. I mean, she's been doing this for a long time, and she's a great example just on what she was stating on the show. And, you know, just if you go look at her website of how to do it right, I mean, and longevity in this. And obviously, she's been doing it long enough. So, you know, all gamuts of the industry. I think she mostly does residential with a small mix of business, from what I gathered from the show. But I mean, that's exactly right, Jeff, just to tack on what you're doing. I mean, there's just a little bit of everything on the pro show on how to do the business.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I have learned in the last year is that you can learn from just about anybody. And one of the things that I guess what got me on this kick of bringing in different vendors, different speakers, different guests, is when I finally got to the point where I wanted to provide a show that people would listen to, and at some point somewhere, you're going to get something. It won't be every show. It may not be every person, and it may not be, you know, exactly what you want to hear every time, but there's going to be a point in time where you hear something that you need, and it might not come from your usual suspect. And when I was talking to a vendor early on, and my first thought is, I don't want you on my show. I don't use you. But then I thought, you know what? I have now, in my mind, a responsibility to provide access to as much as I can to the listeners. Just because I don't use them doesn't mean somebody else shouldn't use them. Use what's best for you. So my job, I feel, is to bring out as many vendors as I can and expose people to new and different ideas. So, you know, it started out of the firewall debate, you know, where it was like, well, I'm a sonic wall guy and I'm a watchguard. I like the red box. I like the white box. You know what? It doesn't matter what works for you and what works for your customers. So if that means that at some point, you know, I may have to ditch sonic wall, I might. I mean, I actually just talked to Calyptics. I'm going to get one of theirs, at least try it out and see where it goes. And, you know, who knows? I'll, you know, be looking at some other stuff down the road. You know, the whole thing about voice over IP, I would never have thought about doing that until I started talking to people who are like, you know, you should really do this.
Well, I would have never even considered Freedom Voice just because they're tagged with GoDaddy. But ever, you know, after the conference and listening to some of those guys, they sound like a great partner.
Yeah. So me too. Yeah. GoDaddy was like no daddy for me.
You know, any company that can talk about doing a white glove treatment or basically walking you through the process of something that you may not be familiar with, that's a win for me, because if you've got that type of customer support and that's what they're really doing, hey, I'm all in.
All right. Taco, you've been strangely quiet, my friend.
Yeah, it's past my bedtime.
Right.
That's not what you said while we were in Chicago.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of things.
Speaking of Chicago, let me go back to that. First of all, how far were we from your office?
We were about walking or driving.
Well, we couldn't walk there.
You could. It's about a 20-minute walk.
That's no.
So car ride about 10.
I was expecting, you know, a little tour of the office while we were up there.
There was an open invitation.
Been there, done that. It's nice.
Listen, I'm not in the secret society, so I can't travel up to Chicago and Michigan every month to hang with you guys.
We just figured you'd get on the jet and come up.
Right. Making Marvin money, you know?
You know, I don't make Matt Rainey money. Come on.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not Rainey money, but it's all.
But yeah, so how downtown Chicago was divided, it is in four portions. So where we were at the conference was known as River North. So that's the northmost part of downtown Chicago. Where I'm at is known as the West Loop, which is the west part of downtown.
Okay.
Then there's the South Loop, which is the south portion of it. And then the east part of it is just known as the Loop, which is by the river and the lake and so forth and so on.
All right. Yeah, 20 minutes would have been too far. My world revolved around basically a 2-block radius of the hotel.
Yeah, plus around here, there's not that many hotels. There are some being built right now. There's one across the street that's predominantly the main hotel across from Google's headquarters, but there's one being built about half a block away, which is called Nobu, which is Robert De Niro's hotel that he's invested in.
Robert, who?
Robert De Niro.
Okay, thank you.
Did I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable?
No, actually, Paco, you're not selling your location very well. I mean, it's right there by the Google headquarters in Chicago. Sounds funny, but the McDonald's headquarters is just a block down the street, too, which kind of interesting to eat lunch at the old Mickey D's headquarters, which we've done. That was cool. I think we walked to just about every major pizza franchise from your office.
Yep.
And ate far too much a couple times. So, yeah, it's a good location. And the office is very nice, too.
Yeah, it's a great open area. I used to work in this. So where I was in the West Loop before, I was literally at the last possible street before the river, and then past the river is the Loop. So I was still considered part of the West Loop. So me moving my office more west, I'm in the area that I used to work in for about 10 years, or a little close to 10 years. So being back over here, I know where pretty much everything is, and it's kind of crazy how everything is just transitioning. But hitting all the old spots that we have our own Kroger type style store named Mariano's. We have a bunch of other Crown Plazas and things like that over there. So it's definitely expanding.
All right.
All right, Marvin, ask me anything. Question, cats or raccoons?
Both.
Okay. honestly, part, do you actually think Matt Rainey knows how to use his fluke?
Matt Rainey?
Yes.
I think he knows how to turn it on and hand it to a tech.
Okay. What more does he need to do?
That's right. He's not leaving the office. What does he need it for?
Oh, I didn't go that low. All right.
By the way, let me ask a quick question here, and this will be kind of a preview of an upcoming show. How many of you are using a Fluke product?
Yes.
All right. Which one?
The Link Sprinter 300.
That's the only one to get if you're getting a Link Sprinter.
Yeah, that's the one I carry too.
Nope. Well, I will say that the Fluke did save my skin the other day and a drastic call to John. But this past Friday was literally probably the networking from hell that I had to terminate these ends. And I just personally have not done that in like years, or let me rephrase, in decades. So when I tried to terminate the ends, nothing was working. Nothing was just, I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. So when I plugged in the, he's like, you know, run the tester. So I run the tester, come to find out that I, accidentally used the wrong standard in putting in the jacks. So I did a type A instead, 586A instead of 586B. So that was a good, learning experience. So, again, that's why I hire people. I don't do this myself. So, ended
orange, up being, white, orange, green, white, blue, blue, white, green, brown, white, brown.
Brown, white, brown. Yep. So, see,
the problem with that is, and I don't do it often enough either because it doesn't come up that often, especially on the residential side. But I do have in my backpack a little cheat sheet that shows me the color combination and in what order.
So, what's the funny part is I Googled it. So, and when I Googled it, it gave me type A, which, again, I couldn't remember what the heck the standard was. And I remember I remember it was white something. So when I said white green, I was like, oh, that must be it, you know. And then I'm trying to do it one by one. And I had to YouTube a trick on how to get them all like tight and in there. So anyway, got it all set up, configured it. But again, without the Fluke, being able to test the actual connections, it would have been a much harder process to plug in my laptop and figure it all out and see if it's going through with the Fluke. I got my reports. I was able to log into the Fluke to see, make sure it ran all the way through. And that was that.
Now, let me ask you this. Does a Fluke tell you if the, if it, does it just tell you that there it's not working, or does it tell you that the wires are in the wrong order?
Depends on, well, I mean, would you just want to answer that?
Well, it depends. Yeah. It depends on which Fluke you're using.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And how far the cable validation goes. But for the most part, all of them will do a basic cable check and will tell you if your, you know, your wire mapping is wrong, the color scheme. So it'll tell you if it's crossed or short or something like that. And then, of course, there are some specific cable certifiers, qualifiers within the Fluke family. But the Link Sprinter is just, the Link Sprinter is really just your first line of defense, your field tech, level one, something that's small to carry in your bag and just do some quick testing. And, you know, Paco has just attested that having that handy, because, you know, let's face it, a lot of tools, you just don't carry everywhere all the time. The Fluke can fit in your, you know, your daily go bag, the Link
Sprinter. Now, here's a question for you.
Right.
I know you mentioned before that you would send your Fluke tools to get service sometimes. What tool, what level of tool does it make sense to get it sent to get it serviced?
That is going to be your higher level tools like the OneTouch or the Etherscope. Those, and I think, well, all of the testers in the Versiv family, which used to be the old DSX cable certifier models. So once you get to the point where you've got, let's say, a minimum of $1,000 invested in a testing device, that's the one where you want to get it calibrated on a regular basis. And if you use the Fluke service, not only will they calibrate it, they'll fix anything that might be wrong with it, and they'll update software, firmware, whatever, and they just do that as part of the package. So I do mine every other year.
Gotcha.
So here's a little known fact about 568A versus 568B. 568B is much more common in the real business world, but did you know that 568A is actually the preferred standard? And that also is also required under a lot of federal contract. I don't know why, because I think there's some backward compatibility there with some older standards. So if you're ever rocking in a federal building or a building that used to be have a federal organization in it, you'll probably run into A. So just remember that if things are weird.
Interesting.
Yeah. There is discussion that A is actually much more solid and stable than B.
Interesting. Okay.
But since I don't specialize in cabling, I really don't worry about it.
Makes sense.
So, and just as a foreshadow, the Link Runner G2, going to be talking about that soon.
What are you doing with your G1?
I don't have the, there isn't a G1 in that model.
Oh, there's not?
No, that is an upgrade of the small Link Runner AT. And so it's a cross between the Link Runner AT and the One Touch AT. So it gives you a hybrid of the basically your basic cable tester network discovery tool and adds in the Wi-Fi capability of the higher end One Touch or the AirCheck. And it is in an Android operating system where you can add your apps to the Link Runner tool.
And that's the Link Runner G2.
So there was one tool that you mentioned before, which was the AirCheck in the original series. Is there a G2 model of that, or are they merging that with another tool?
No, there is an AirCheck G2, yes.
Okay. So here's an ask you anything question. So for those of us that are moving up the ladder of Fluke tools, do you suggest saving to get probably one of the more comprehensive tools that have some of all the features, or do you suggest getting some of the smaller tools and then when you're ready, upgrade to that bigger tool? So for example, I have the Link Sprinter. I run into a lot of Wi-Fi. I get a lot of Wi-Fi calls. My instinct is to get an AirCheck as my next tool, or should I hold on and actually wait to get the one next up and just get that one, versus having to get an AirCheck and then getting the one right after, because I may need some of the features of the one above that.
So I'm kind of revising my stance on that, and I want to wait until I get a full look at the Link Runner G2.
Okay.
Because I think for a lot of people, I would say start with the Link Sprinter. If you just need a tool to start with that and the 300 model of the Link Sprinter. Don't even start with the lower end models. First, I would always tell people if you wanted to step up from the Link Sprinter, look at the Link Runner AT. But I was revising my thoughts on, you know what? There are a lot of $300 to $500 testers that are just as good as the Link Runner AT. The Link Runner AT by itself is around $1,000 to $1,500. The only reason I got the Link Runner AT was because it was a companion piece to the One Touch, where I could set up the Link Runner on the other side of a network or the other side of a switch, and it would do line performance testing for me. So my full thinking was, if you want to have one tool, just save everything and get the One Touch 3000 model, which would give you, you know, the cable testing, the fiber testing, and the wireless testing with all of the network discovery tools that you need. I may rethink that and tell people the Link Runner G2, because for 90% of technicians, I think that's going to do everything they need. And since it has the ability to add in whatever apps, that might be the way to go. Still a little pricey. It's going to cost you $2,000+ to get it. But for most of us, we're not cable testers. We're not cable certifiers. We want to have that in our tool bag just so that we can, you know, argue with the cable guy or gal when they screw up. But the network discovery and testing is really where I think these tools shine, where you can go in and do a quick overview you know, and if we're talking simple DHCP DNS testing alone, that could save your bacon, you know, save you an hour or two of troubleshooting. You know,
that getting, I can attest to. And exactly like you said, I'm looking at an image on the G2. It has the nice little screenshot of showing which of those pairs of the cables that are open and which ones that are good. Mm-hmm. So you can see that your blue and blue white may not be that are open from 5.5 feet away, whereas the others 13 feet are good.
Yes. And that's key to even get a distance in your testing, which that was another thing that sold me early on the Fluke stuff when I would go with my buddy and he would bring me in to try to locate stuff in an unknown environment. I could at least plug it in and it would tell me, hey, you've got a switch that's 30 feet on this cable and you can just follow that cable to that switch. I mean, it was, you know, being able to do that. And it took me, you know, less than 30 minutes, what he had been struggling with 2 days to figure out, to find an access point stuck in the network behind a cabinet on the floor that there's no way he would have found. You know? And within, you know, a few minutes of my Fluke tracing cables in certain directions, and I knew we've got something in that direction. And he's like, oh, there's nothing there. It's just a bar. And there's, you know, it's up against the wall and we've found it. So yeah, I think that's probably one product that even though I'm talking to other people about other testers, I'm probably never going away from the Fluke.
Well, and they've been around for a long time in many different industries.
Yeah.
Not just for networks, all kinds of testers for, you know, we see them all the time.
Yeah.
Especially in the audio industry. So.
Another thing to your question, Paco, that I forgot to mention is the Wi-Fi testing portion. The interference testing alone is worth it. So whichever of the Fluke products you get that have the Wi-Fi built in, get it because of the channel air quality testing and the interference. And I remember that, you know, one of the people I think what sold Rainey last year at the unconvention in DC was the fact that I had the Fluke and in the middle of my presentation, they turned on the microwave in the back of the room and the Fluke caught it. And people were just like, you got to be kidding me. And I'm like, nope. That's what this can do.
Nice.
And the G2 has a Wi-Fi option to add to it, doesn't it?
Yes. That's why I'm telling people I may say that may be your go-to model. I still like my One Touch, but the G2 I think is going to work for most of the people in our listening audience. Guys are all Googling.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on a second. I got to finish watching this video.
Yeah, some open house party. Huh? Everybody's...
Now,
go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, I mean, we could obviously he's going to have a Fluke show coming out here soon. I was just going to ask you, what are your other plans in the future and how long do you think you're going to continue on with this show?
Well, I'll answer the last part first. As long as the wife can put up with it. So in terms of what else do I see happening? I'm not sure. I think that I've opened up the door to a lot of vendor stuff. So a lot of this may be vendor driven in a sense of what they're willing to do. I think that there could be the possibility of doing something like the live show, but with an active discussion/presentation. So a lot of the things that we're actually talking about, we can have, whether it's screenshots, you know, of live demos or something. I think that that could be something that comes up that I've talked about with one vendor. Maybe it'll leak over to others. I think that there's going to be more opportunity for people to come on and discuss their business. You know, the pro show, when it really came out, was more really just Matt sharing stories. And as much as people love that, I think we're now starting to get people who want to hear stories from other people. You know, not that there's anything wrong with Matt. Matt's a great storyteller. We love Matt. Matt's a guy that, you know, you want to go out and have a $2.50 donut with.
Hey, man.
Man, those are good.
Damn, yeah. Love you, Matt.
Fire cakes, everyone. Fire cakes.
Fire cakes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. But opening the door to other areas, other techs, other vendors, I think is probably where it'll go. And we'll see. It's it probably depends on how the medium of podcasting continues too. Everybody's got a podcast. So,
well, again, to give you accolades for a lot of people that may not listen to podcasts all the time, just understand if you get past 7 episodes, you're usually like a podcasting god at that point. You get to 100 episodes, you're Mr., you know, God of the universe, because not many people do that. So there's a lot of podcasts that start all the time. Matter of fact, a little side note, Apple Podcasts says they have 550,000 podcasts in their directory, of which I'm estimating about 250,000 of those are defunct and no longer doing anything. So the shows come up all the time, and people, I've seen even vendors try to do it. And they don't do a real good job a lot of times. They'll have 20, 30 episodes and then they kind of die off. But for what you're doing, bringing in the vendors, getting them in front of an audience, I think is key. Because a lot of people aren't, you know, they're looking for help in the industry, but not necessarily help from a particular vendor that they know nothing about until you bring them to the show and say, hey, here's this person to talk. Kudos to you again, just for sticking in there and doing as many episodes as you've done so far.
Thank you very much. Dubinsky, you raised your hand.
Oh, this is just something I do trying to screw with Jeff. So
I don't even pay attention to him anymore. I just ignore him.
Like every other child.
Paco.
Wow. Man, you can tell it's late night because, you know, all the old people are going, oh my God. That's my bedtime.
He just unmutes that mic just enough to get that in. So here's a question I'll ask you guys, because all of you are also podcast veterans. So one of the things that I did when I really started branching out was I actually started searching for other tech podcasts to see, you know, what else is out there. Because I wanted to make sure, well, am I duplicating something that's already out there? And, you know, we know Twit, we know the security podcast, we know the stuff that we talk about all the time. And yes, there are some vendor podcasts out there, and they seem to be losing steam because, in a sense, they're kind of targeting their clients.
No. You know what? Let me stop you there. Okay. They suck because all they want to do is talk about, you know, the system metrics that I heard the other day mean that we're going to have a new population of IT people that need to. It's like all this gobbledygook that nobody wants to hear about. They want to hear from real people that are in the trenches. They can bring the information from these vendors. And once they realize that, portions of podcasting will explode because they'll figure out, you know what, maybe we're not good enough to do this, but we can find some other people that are, and we can get in front of them and get in front of their audience and let people know from a real person's perspective. Again, going back to Freedom Voice from this last conference, guy seemed down to earth, just the real deal, just explaining who he was and what Freedom Voice could offer. That's the type of vendors we want. You know, the guys from, you know, Ian Alexander, there's another example. He's been on, you know, my show several times. Just a down earth guy, was a tech and loves what he does. And just those are the people you want to hear from in this industry. So anyway, sorry.
All right. I retract.
How do you really feel about that, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't sell yourself short, B. You know, anybody can do a podcast, but not everybody can do 100 shows, just like Jeff said.
And quality shows at that.
Yes.
There you go. Just unmuting at the right time there.
He's good. He is good.
All right. So, okay, AMA, B, what are the other top 3 non-podnutch tech shows that you listen to?
Oh, non-tech?
And guys, get ready because the question's coming your way. Start Googling.
All right. So in my podcatcher right now, I have a show titled Money Girl. And it's basically a simple dollars and cents show by a lady named Laura Adams. And it's just random shows about money that I will listen to. There's also a show called You Need a Budget. And those are the only
tips for a richer life. Money Girl.
That's her.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are the only 2 non-tech in my podcatcher right now. I've gone through some others. I'm trying to see if I've got some past shows to tell you about, but those are two of the non-tech podcasts that I listen to. All right,
tell me the other top three tech ones then, or a couple top tech ones, not PodNuts related.
So, of course, the show we've talked about, oh, Jim Rohn podcast is my other one that I have.
Okay, Romy.
So, of course, I listen to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast with Dave and Donna.
They do a good job.
The Mike Tech Show, I listen to. The 10-Minute Tech Talk is something that I kind of listen to, but I don't know how much longer I'll be listening to it. Because it's not really relevant a lot of times. Like Jeff was saying that, you know, a lot of times it's stuff you don't, it's not even that you don't want to hear. You know, what I try to do is at least bring something where even if you don't like the topic, you want to listen just in case. These shows, sometimes I'll turn it on. I'm like, okay, I'm not getting anything out of this. Just click. It's like people deleting my Star Wars episode. I mean, you know what's coming.
You're really chapped about that, aren't you?
I'm not, actually, episode. I liked it. Okay.
I learned a lot, and I hate
I learned a lot
Star Wars
too.
And Star Trek.
No. Yes. You know what's funny is I always hated the debate, Star Trek versus Star Wars, just because I'm like, who cares? So what?
I like them both.
But it was something where a lot of people at least mentioned it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna watch them because everybody else talks about, not everybody else, but enough people talk about them that I'm like, okay, let me watch. Let me at least see what the fuss is all about. We'll contrast, compare. I'll ask my questions. Why in the world is the lightsaber green and not blue in that scene? You know, it's stupid. But, but that's how I listen to podcasts is I want to, you know, is there a chance that I will get something out of it? And there's a lot of these, there's a lot of vendor podcasts in here that I've put in and I just can't listen to.
Horrible.
Okay, really quick, 30-second answer to tech podcasts you listen to, Jeff, besides PodNut stuff?
Tech. Two tech podcasts, tech. Mike Tech Show and Security Now.
All right. How about two that you think of others might not have heard of?
Tech?
Yes.
Nah, I'm very limited on the tech.
Paco, anything? Paco?
Tech?
All right, I got a couple that I don't ever hear anybody talk about. So there's the IT Provider Network. Has anybody ever heard of that? Terry Rossi?
Yeah, I listened to it. I actually unsubscribed.
I actually like it. I think he does a pretty good job.
It is good. It's just, it's very intermittent now. And, you know, so it's
true. Like, true. He's not hitting it as often as he used to. I like the Defensive Security Podcast with Jerry Ball and Andrew Callett.
I have not heard of that one.
Very informative. Those guys are good. And maybe non-tech related would be the Rework Podcast. It's put on by the guys that made Basecamp. But it's all about better ways to run your business, I guess. And it's never very long. It's usually 15 to 30 minutes. So
non-tech, I can tell you real quick, Profit First, Mike Michalowicz, and Sales Influence Podcast by Victor Antonio.
So a podcast that I tried to listen to, the Accidental Tech Podcast. And
what didn't you like about it?
Sometimes it's just, as I listen, it just doesn't engage me. So basically what I do is I take care of my podcast the same way I take care of my TV shows on the DVR. I listen to the stuff I like first, and if I get to the others, I'll get to it. But the problem is there's so many good things out there that I like, I just never get to the other stuff. I mean, you know, I
kind of like the podcast. It's just the content didn't, most of the time, didn't hit with what I was looking for.
On the Accidental Tech Podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're right. There's only so many hours a week in the car, so you got to cut it somewhere.
Yeah.
And you know how long Jeff drags on the CRP show, so.
Yeah, I have to cut that off after
20 minutes.
Right about the time he takes that, let's pause for our first break.
Skip.
Wow, that's like 5 minutes in. Jeez. Wow. Man.
All right, guys.
Okay, then well, last thing, yes. And I'll leave the podcast alone.
Okay.
The one that you're most disappointed in, the podcast you used to really like that maybe you don't like anymore. Any? Or is that too personal?
Yeah, that's too close to home.
Well, I'm going there this week in Google, because it's not about Google anymore.
I agree.
I mean, if I wanted to listen to, you know, it seems to become pretty political, but that's the one I kind of miss. It's not really about Google anymore. Does anybody have a good Google show that actually talks about Google products, G Suite, any of that kind of good stuff.
I don't even look
okay,
for
moving
those.
On. That's a new show for you, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. This week in Google. I was listening to the Microsoft one. Windows Weekly.
I still like that one.
It's okay. I had to, again, taking it down to a point where you have to choose what you're going to listen to and what's more important to me. They weren't telling me anything really new about Windows. It's kind of, we're getting stuff on the fly. It's not really helping me in my business, but the security stuff, it's nice to hear about the flaws that are out in the wild that Steve talks about to understand the things that we need to worry about for our customers. Like the fax exploit on the HP printers, all that kind of stuff, I think is more important. So that's kind of where I have to pick and
choose. Well, I kind of like it when Paul and Mary Jo really just sort of dig into Windows and start ranting a little bit about it, because then you kind of learn about what they hear about behind the scenes and that sort of thing, and things that might actually affect us.
It seemed to be, it seemed to be that way a while ago, but it seemed to be, as I was listening to it, seemed to be less and less of that and just kind of more speculation than really kind of knowing what was going on.
And hell, maybe they don't know either. All right, but the horse is dead. Back to you, B.
So I just had another thought that I was thinking. So at one point in time, I thought about doing a segment where I would call, trolling the Facebook, because it was funny, because when I was thinking about the relevancy of podcasts, and the reason I thought about it is because I've been sitting on this SolarWinds podcast for almost 3 months now, that I think I'm just in a ditch and either talk crap about them or, air it and see what happens. And it's like, by the time some of these podcasts comes out, people have already beat some of these things, to death on the Facebook. So one of the questions I was going to have is how do you guys reconcile the things that are coming out on Facebook? Anybody can throw up a poll. Hey, what vendor do you like? Or what are you guys using for this tool and things like that? So a lot of times I feel like it's hard to talk about stuff on a podcast because it's easier for people to do it in the Facebook. What do you think?
Well, number one, just from my standpoint of listening to podcasts, I've been listening to podcasts since 2008. And again, Steve Cherubino was probably one of the main guys that turned me on. The Mike Smith Show and all that kind of stuff back in the beginning when I was looking for tech. It's easy because working on assembly line, I was able to plug in my earbuds on my Zune. Yes, I said Zune. And so I was able to listen to about 40 hours of podcasts a week. And I was just going through and finding all kinds of cool stuff. So that was kind of nice. I quite honestly don't understand how people actually supposedly run their successful businesses and spend as much damn time on Facebook as they actually do, because I don't have the time, but there's a lot of people who do, I guess. So I kind of look at Facebook. It's nice to get, we'll get like in our secret Facebook group, we get people to ask questions and then we get people to answer those questions, but it's like you're in and out.
Right.
It's not, you're not sitting there going, hey, we got a poll on this. What's a poll prove?
I like what you're saying too, Jeff, but I would take you even further that, maybe the topic is thrown around on Facebook, but I would rather have you, Obando, Jeff, Paco, Rainey, whatever, sort of dissect it a little bit, provide more information on it, and maybe talk about how it actually affects us versus the vomit that's all over the floor most of the time in Facebook.
Right. I will second that.
Most of the time, what I see is I think the CRP group is a little bit different than that, but a lot of people interject, even though they don't have anything to say about the topic. Can't you just let it pass by without saying something?
Don't get me started.
I know, Jeff. Just mute yourself right now.
I'm muted.
All right. So I see.
And I'm not trying to do that because I'm not certainly saying that my poop doesn't stink either, but at some point I consider it a time management thing, the podcast. I feel I get a ton of information and a lot of good company when I'm tooling around in my ride doing what I do.
All right. And your poop don't stink because you use poopery. I know. All right. So we'll table that discussion for another time. I want to go ahead and try to wrap this up. We had promised to try to not have it be a Matt Rainey length type session.
A blab fest? Is that what you're
saying? Well, it took three of us to match him, so.
There you go. And I know that the young child needs to go get his sleep, so.
Thanks, Bea. Thanks.
He wouldn't talk about you, John.
All right. Let's just quickly go around and get some last thoughts here. Paco, anything before we end off here?
Nope. Just looking forward to the next 100th episode. So what, that 280, whatever?
281. Yeah.
Yep.
It'll be here before you know it.
There you go.
All right. Jeff.
I just appreciate you having me on, and it was nice to talk and ask you some questions about what you're doing. So it's been a pleasure as always. It's nice to get the group or the band back together.
All right. And who's the fourth one that got killed off first in the Beatles?
Doobie Doobie.
All right, John, last words.
Love you, B. Love this. Thanks for the opportunity to be on here. Love the show. Keep it going.
All right. Guys, thank you very much for this time. And I will ask you back before you know it. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening and downloading and subscribing to the show. And you know where to find us. We'll be here for a long, long, long time. Just wait for John to be it. Me love you a long time.
I'm not even going there. We're undeletable. That's what I feel.
Yeah. Hey, I can edit this out. It's my show. So, alrighty, gentlemen. Thank you guys very much. We'll talk to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been listening, hope you enjoyed it. And I'll be back next week with another show. But until then, holla.